You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And the search continues. Today would have been Amelia Earhart's birthday. Having spent about a month in Atchison recently, everything is named after that woman in that entire town. Like everything.
We got to grab on to what you know.
That's right.
Boy, an expedition to a remote Pacific island in search of the remains of Amelia Earhart's plane is ready to launch after being delayed for a year. NBC News correspondent Tom Costello announcing on the Today Show today, which would have been Amelia Earhart's 129th birthday, that a group led by the Archaeological Legacy Institute and Purdue University will commence a mission in October.
Again.
Hang on, I got to pronounce this island name right. To Nikumaroro Island, which is in the Pacific Ocean.
It's full of stray dogs.
Nikumaroro.
Common spelling.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the islands of the Kiribati.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Mm-hmm. I looked at pictures of it. Nobody lives on it.
Yeah.
But it literally is, it looks like a very flat egg, and it has a lagoon in the middle.
Yeah, it's okay. Like an atoll.
So, whatever, Dan. It's just a lot of land in a circle. Well, not a circle, but
things have names.
Quiet. The expedition was initially announced in October of 2025, but it was postponed for a year while approvals and permits were obtained from the government of Kiribati.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kiribati. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's spelled Kiribati in English, but it's pronounced Kiribati.
Sam, make him leave.
I can turn his board off.
Please make him leave. My head hurt.
Do they really think they're going to find anything other than a pile of rocks that may not resemble the shape of a plane? Plus, why do you think after this many years the plane's even remotely intact?
Because in certain areas of the world, the tide is such that if it were in a certain spot way down below, they do believe it possible the fuselage remains.
Sam, make her leave, please.
When did you become an oceanographer?
Well, we interviewed the last set of people that went down there.
And you know what they found?
But you know what he said?
A pile of rocks.
He goes, we still think there may be paper artifacts down there. And I go, below the water?
They can think whatever they want. It ain't there.
All right.
But you got to go look.
Is this a good idea or a bad idea? I love this story.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the expedition. I was going to say, bad idea.
Scott.
Moving on.
A rental listing is turning heads online, not because of the home itself, but because of one expected line within the description. Okay? Right. It's newly built. It's furnished. It's one bedroom.
This is a house or an apartment?
It's a house.
Okay.
Lovely little ranch. It's listed for $3,200 a month. This is in California with utilities and Wi-Fi included. Then later on in the listing, it says, if you are working from home, add an additional $200 per month. The optional fee quickly caught the attention of renters, many of whom said they've never heard of anything like it. That's crazy, quoting here from some Bay Area renter. Work from home fee? No way, replied Christopher Williams, who works remotely in Chicago. Another renter, Cody Hall, called the idea, quote, ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
The listing advertises a 535 square foot furnished cottage in Walnut Creek's Northgate neighborhood. Okay. Tiny.
That's very tiny.
That's like one room. It's a studio.
Well, my house in Roland Park that I lived in for 11 years was 1,000 square feet. So it would be
about half of that.
It would be half the size of that house.
Right. Yeah. Bedroom, bathroom, kitchen, like all kind of one, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be $3,600 a month unless you work from home. Then it's $3,800 a month.
Okay, now here's why I think this is a bad idea, and it is, as one of the commenters said, ridiculous. What if I am 55 years old and I did very well in my career and I'm now retired?
Okay, so you're home.
So I'm home a lot more than I would be if I was leaving every day for a 9-to-5.
I don't think it would go over well if you had a $200 retiree fee.
I don't think it's based.
I think that would be illegal.
I don't think it's based on usage of the facility.
Of course it is.
Utilities are included.
But I don't think it's based on being present all day long. I think it's just based on you making a profit off of that area.
I think.
And it's their way of getting a piece of it.
Nope. I think the owner thinks, because they could have just asked $3,800 and not put this in here. Instead, they asked $3,600 and said, unless you're going to work from home, we're going to ding you $200. Because you are using resources 24 hours a day instead of like 17 hours a day.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Well, is working from home, even if you work for someone.
Your lights are on.
You can write that room off, right?
You can,
that
yes.
portion of your house where you're working from home. Well, but I mean, if you're in a 530 square foot place and there's not a lot of rooms to pick from.
I do believe the way that it works is if this is a studio apartment and it's 500 square feet and they are working in that studio apartment, that entire 500 square feet, because it is one room.
Is a write-off.
Yep.
If you go above.
Being home all day is going to mean higher power use, which we already talked about.
Right.
Here's the big one. Heavier internet bandwidth and longer air conditioning run times. That's it.
Well, but I mean,
I'm not saying I'd agree to it. I'm not saying it's fair.
What do they mean, air conditioning run times? I don't turn my air conditioner off or set the thermostat higher just because I leave for work. I just leave it at the same temperature all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know because I'm not a slumlord. I don't like what.
I don't know that it's a slumlord.
Well, I mean, they're fleecing the renters in California. There's no question about it.
Every apartment I've ever stayed in, the water was averaged for the building.
Oh.
My roommate and I used to pay $78 for water, and I assure you that we did not use $78 worth of water.
You're paying for your neighbor's overuse.
Yeah.
Dude, we have two people in our house, and we don't pay that for water.
Yeah, I know. And that's when I learned that it was averaged, and that's just the way they do it. And if you don't like it, move.
Well, but my guess would be, and I don't know, I didn't live in that apartment complex, my guess would be that there's only one water meter for the entire building. And so your landlord gets a statement every month from the water department that says, hey, the water usage in this building is $700. And then they divide it by the number of people living there or the number of units that are in that building. And that's why you ended up. It's not that I don't think the landlord was necessarily trying to screw you guys out of money. It was just there was no other fair way to do it.
They showed me all the different water meters when we moved in.
Okay, well, that changes everything.
Yeah.
Dave Strickland, an entrepreneur from North Carolina, commented on Twitter that he encountered a similar request from a landlord in North Carolina. They wanted an additional $300 per month for anyone working out of the house.
Why?
He, like others, questioned how such a rule can even be enforced without being privacy invasive. In his case, the dude, quote, also insisted that he keep his indoor cameras installed. He said, I passed on that listing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot spy
whoa,
on me.
Whoa.
Yes, in that listing, it was $300 a month if you're working from home, and the indoor security cameras remain.
Absolutely not.
Be a voyeur?
Weirdo.
Why would they request? I can understand if they wanted to keep the Ring, maybe the Ring doorbell.
Who would agree to that? I would
that
never.
The interior?
Yes, no one's going to agree to that.
Never mind.
It's okay.
Can you put whatever you want to in a lease agreement?
You can, and then I don't have to sign
it. As long as you don't violate federal law.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my question is, there is no specific law stating you cannot do a work from home fee. So you present it, you say, here's the deal. And if they don't want to pay it, they leave.
Well, to your question, yes, there is no protected class for working from home or working in an office. Neither is a protected class. They can put a $200 rider in your contract that says, Dana, if you're going to work from home,
sorry,
another $200, and then you have the right to say, well, I'll pay that or goodbye.
I would say goodbye.
Goodbye, like the lady on Weakest Link.
Goodbye.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday. The airing of the grievance is coming your way in 45 minutes. Dana Wright.
Yes.
Let's test your British.
Oh, I love the
English.
British. I'm an Anglophile.
We will let Sam be a lifeline if necessary.
Okay.
I'm going to read you either a word or a couple of words in British English. You tell me what they mean in American English.
Okay.
First word, words, biscuit tin. What is a biscuit tin?
It's what you put your tea in.
That is incorrect.
Cookie jar.
That is correct. Are you cheating?
No, sir.
Okay.
Dan Weinbaum's in here. My hands are not on the keyboard.
Okay.
Dust bin.
A dustbin is the trash can.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
The dustbin. I would like you to give it to me in a British accent, please.
I cannot do that. Okay. Zebra crossing.
A zebra crossing.
Mm-hmm. What is a zebra crossing?
Is it a school zone?
That would be a crosswalk.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't even get a chance.
She has to call on her lifeline.
Okay.
What is a pedestrian?
A pedestrian.
Mm-hmm. What is it in American English?
They call a pedestrian what we call a homeless person.
A pedestrian.
Oh. Well, that's not fair.
What is an off license?
An off license.
Mm-hmm.
Sam?
This is the first one I don't know.
An off license. Off license.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a fake ID?
No, it is not.
Ooh, then I don't know.
It would be a liquor store.
Oh.
Is an off license.
Did you know that one?
I don't know any of these.
Okay.
That's why I've got the cheat sheet. This is a dated term. I did look. All these I've checked to make sure that they're accurate. This word comes up as a dated term, but still used occasionally by some Brits. Chemist. And no, it's not a chemist.
Okay. A chemist.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a pharmacist?
Close enough. It is a drugstore.
Okay.
Yes. A tap.
A tap.
No, just a tap.
A tap.
Tap. Tappity tap.
Tappity tap. A mm-hmm. tap. Is it a hug?
It would be a faucet.
Oh, the tap. My mm-hmm. grandma used to call it that.
Two more.
Okay.
What is a tin in British English? What is it in America?
Hand me the tin.
Mm-hmm.
Hand me the tin.
You're using it properly in a sentence?
Hand me the tin.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Is it cigarettes?
It would be a can.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. A shopping trolley.
A shopping trolley?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a cart?
That is correct.
A shopping trolley.
Mm-hmm.
What about a boot?
A boot?
Is that a shoe?
It's
a soccer
two,
shoe.
It's got two meanings. Soccer shoe and...
I don't know.
The trunk of a car.
It's called a boot.
Or the bonnet.
Boot. Go to the boot.
1 in 5 Americans, 1 in 5 Americans, 20%, say they are psychic.
Okay.
Not it. Wait. Hear me out.
I put this story in the stack. Did you not see it coming?
Get out.
Not in a crystal ball or seance.
Yes.
Speak to the dead kind of way, but more in a... I just knew something was wrong before anyone said a word kind of way.
Yep.
A new survey of 2,000 adults found that 19% of respondents straight up believe that they have psychic abilities. Another 71% lean on intuition at least some of the time. And over the past year, the average person logged around 18 moments that they would describe as psychic.
Mm-hmm.
11% of Americans say they don't believe any of this.
That should be higher and the other number should be lower.
I firmly believe that everybody has the ability. They just don't know how to access it.
To channel it.
Correct.
What if we used a different word? What if instead of using the word psychic,
mm-hmm.
we use the word intuition?
Yeah.
Because I believe, you know, my mother used to say... Mother's intuition, I knew that girl was lying. She would just say that.
Well, but my mom said she had eyes in the back
yes.
of her head.
Mother's intuition that something was wrong or that you needed something. And I've heard other moms say that. I just felt like something was wrong.
The only time I have ever had a, you know, I just knew that was going to happen kind of moment is with a song on the radio. Or like when Sam will sometimes bring us back with Rejoin, it's happened a handful of times where I say to Sam, I knew you were going to play that song. And it's not because it's related to the topic at hand
right.
and just yeah. seemed like it was obvious, you know what I mean? Like if we were talking about prayers and he comes back with
right.
living on a prayer. Just where a random song on the radio, and I just knew that was going to be the next song. And then, of course, there's nobody in the car for me to tell that to.
Right. I just think that's a coincidence, though, is it not?
There are a lot of songs out there.
That's true.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
So
I'm
how would
really
my brain
not to go full hippie on this?
But how would my brain be able to perceive or expect what the next song on some random radio station is going to be?
So I'm trying to come up with the term for it.
Spirit world.
Well, the idea is it's all frequency, right? And
yeah.
If you can block out the clutter, you can listen to that frequency and effectively talk to the dead.
That's why we don't do it.
We can't block out the clutter.
Adam Dickinson, a former FBI intelligence analyst and current logic to intuition integration advisor, provided insight into this pull of intuition. He says intuition is a second intelligence channel. It arrives quickly, feels light and steady, and quietly points you toward what fits. From a mental standpoint, intuition is your body compressing years of experience and patterned recognition into a clear signal that you can feel.
Let me give you a great example. And this has happened to me more times than I can count, probably. When I pick up my cell phone, let's say it's 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay? And I say to my phone, her name, call Sarah. And just as I say that, my phone rings and it's Sarah calling me.
Yeah.
Of all the seconds in a day.
Yeah.
The two of us had the same thought at the same time, call Dad, call Sarah. And we call, I mean, think about it. How many seconds are in a single day?
A lot.
And we both picked the same second to call each other. That's kind of weird, don't you think?
I think it's pretty normal, actually.
Do you think there's some sort of cosmic, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Let me ask it a different way. Do you think someone actually has a bad feeling when they decide at the last minute not to board a plane and the plane crashes?
Great point.
Or after the plane crashes and they interview the one person that should have been on the plane, it just feels natural to say, I just had this weird feeling.
How many people have the feeling and ignore it?
Well, we don't know because they were on the plane and the plane went down.
Like, I'm reading Ozzy's last book that came out posthumously. I believe I read in there that he says he was supposed to be on the plane that killed Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
And at the last second, for whatever reason, he chose to get on the bus. And the plane that was carrying Randy Rhoads crashed into a barn or a farmhouse just in front of the bus that Ozzy was on. He would have died. He and Randy Rhoads would have died in that plane crash.
Is it intuition? Or is it just easier to look back and say?
It was just happenstance. It was just.
Yeah. We make choices. We make trillions of choices every day. If you think about it, even right down to, am I going to scratch my nose right now or not? Yep, I am.
Okay.
Think of all of the just subconscious choices we make every single day. And if it really is intuition, can you intercept and change those choices for better or for worse? I don't know.
And now we're discussing religion and free will.
No, we're not going to do that, Sam.
I don't know that we brought up religion.
It's Friday. We're not going to do that.
No, I'm just drawing the comparison. I'm making a joke.
All right. Somebody on the text, somebody just texted me and said, Sam is 100% correct. And then went on to say, there is no such thing as a coincidence.
There is somebody in my life that you guys know very well who I think is much more in tune with this frequency, whatever it is, than anybody else. Yeah. And any time I'm having a rough morning, and it's every time I'm having a rough morning, I get a phone call from this individual.
Good vibes.
And he says, I'm just checking in. Yeah. How did he know that I was having a rough morning? And it's literally every time.
I don't have very many
rough mornings.
I know you're talking about Mackey.
That's Michael Mackey.
Yep. Hmm. Well, does he call you on days that you're having a bad morning because he calls every day?
Or are all your mornings bad?
No. He has never once said checking in and I'm like, oh, I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, Mary Beth and I had a disagreement about something and I'm just festering about it. My phone will vibrate. I'll look at it and it'll either be a phone call or Mackie saying, just checking in. How you
showing
doing?
Showing the love. What
and
are you doing?
He believes in that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why he's able to tap into it.
I am more likely to believe like just the conversation we're having about intuition than the study that 1 in 5 Americans think they're psychic. I don't think you can say 1 in 5 Americans actually think that, I guess, man, I'm really not going to book that flight because that plane's going to go down. Like in the true sense that you would think, quote, psychic.
Well, and the story goes on to say that. It's not the crystal ball seance.
No.
Ouija board kind of.
It's just you're paying attention to more of the frequency around you than most of us just don't.
Well, but it says that the kind of psychic that 1 in 5 Americans claim that they are is the I just knew something was wrong before anyone said a word kind of psychic.
Yeah. What about Dionne Warwick and the Psychic Friends Network?
I believe that's a fraud. I think that's the reason it's no longer in business.
What if I want a psychic friend?
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Let's go to Dan in Paola. Dan, did you know I was going to go to you first?
I did not.
Oh, so you're not psychic.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, my friend. What do you got?
So, February 3rd, 1959, the plane the American Pie crashed, killing Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. The band was taking turns who would ride on the bus that kept freezing over and who was going to ride on the plane. The Big Bopper asked Buddy Holly's bass player, 19-year-old Waylon Jennings. I have the Big Bopper said, I have the flu. Waylon, can I take your seat on that plane? He said, yep, I'll give it to you. I hope your damn plane crashes.
Everything other than the I hope your damn plane crashes, I don't know if that part is true. I'll take your word for it. Everything you said is absolutely true. Waylon Jennings was the bass player for Buddy Holly. He was 19 years old at the time. And gave up his seat on the plane to the Big Bopper because he was suffering from the flu. Not Waylon, but the Big Bopper. That is correct.
So in Waylon's autobiography, he tells the story.
Okay.
And he said it as a joke, and he felt bad about it his whole life.
I'll be darned. All right. Yep. Dan, thank you for the call.
A couple of times I've had something happen, and I'm 1,000% not going to use names, but this jarred me 5 years ago. I had a dream, and it was just this fleeting moment in this dream where someone that I knew in college, we were in a restaurant or a bar, and I looked down, and he looked up, and he just smiled. And I had not thought of this person in 30 years. You know how you meet people in college and you go one way and they go the other way? Sure. I couldn't even tell you where he was living at the time. I have no idea. And I woke up the next morning. I was going about my day and I logged onto Facebook later in the day and he had died.
Really?
And a mutual friend that I did not even realize knew him. I was just scrolling on Facebook, posted, "Our hearts are shattered. He was my ride or die." He posted these photos.
So how well did you know him?
Very well.
Okay.
And it stopped me in my tracks. And I just thought that's so weird that it was so clear in my dream. He looked and smiled and I said hi. And it was just like one of those very clear moments in a dream. And then the next morning.
And he died the next, or he found out he had died that day.
He had passed. Yeah.
Wow.
And my grade, probably 49, 48.
Now, what do you chalk that up to?
That's harder to explain, right? Because it's energy, and I believe in energy.
Well, and how many hundreds of stories have we heard about, like, oh, yeah, Aunt Betty, she can predict what your baby is going to be before you even know you're pregnant, and she's right every time. How many of those stories do you have to hear before you're like, well, maybe there's something here?
Yeah.
Let's go to Patty in Lawrence. Hello, Patty.
Hey there. Hi. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. Basically, when I was younger, in my teens, I would see visuals and know what was going to happen before it happened. and I would say something to that person I was talking with, and all of a sudden the event would happen, and they'd be like, oh, shit.
Okay, dokie. I predicted that you were going to use that bad word, and that's why you got dumped. Okie dokie.
I wasn't even listening and reached for the dump button. Am I a psychic?
Okay.
I heard the S and the H, and I knew what the next two letters were going to be.
Yeah.
Patty, you are now in a 5-day timeout. You cannot use that word on the radio. It is illegal for us. Not cool. It's okay. All right. So, you know, I have Facebook Reels, and I'm mildly addicted to it.
Yes.
I think it's
more than mild, but yes.
Okay, fine. But I stumbled upon this reel, and I'm going to read it to you as it plays, because it switches screens and words, different names pop up. It is, which U.S. city did it best? And they're talking about the World Cup, okay?
Okay.
Which U.S. city did it best? Because, you know, there were Canadian cities, Toronto, Vancouver.
Right.
There were Mexican cities, Mexico City.
But then there was Dallas.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So tell me what is wrong with this reel. You ready?
Okay.
Which city did it best in the U.S.? Miami. And they show Miami skyline.
Sure.
Atlanta. There's Atlanta's. New York.
Okay.
Seattle.
Do not tell me they showed
Los Angeles.
The wrong skyline for our
town. Houston. Philadelphia. Dallas. Again. San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They didn't even include us?
Nope.
But we're the darlings of the World Cup.
They have Dallas twice.
Dallas is in there twice.
Dallas.
Maybe that's because we played the Dallas announcement and they thought that was Dallas twice.
You guys, they were listening to KMBZ that day and they were like, you know what? It's Dallas. You know what? We get no respect, but we still want to be kind of a little bit under the radar. I mean, we want the Women's World Cup Championship here. And we want the Rugby World Championship here.
2031, I believe.
I think it's 2027, isn't it?
No.
Okay, let's break quick. They're going to Canada, and we will come back as soon as we can for the Midwestern announcement.
Let's break for news. We'll come right back, Sam. Go, go, go. Ah, we're in!
Second, we have Dallas.
Dallas. Awesome. I'm told 200,000 kids play soccer in Dallas.
Also, where did they get that number? I still want to know.
Stand by. I'm getting a message from the studio. I'm told that 200,000 kids play soccer in Dallas.
It was awful. Awesome. I'm still mad about that. Still mad about that.
Who are you mad at?
I don't know. The man. I'm still mad.
A story here from Fox 4. A developer has proposed converting a former church on Grandview Road in Grandview into Agora. A new pickleball stadium.
Okay.
The project still requires rezoning approval from the city council, aims to open next year to host national tournaments.
Yeah.
Despite some resident concerns regarding noise.
There's another story in the stack, speaking of noise, that neighbors live somewhere near an amusement park. The amusement park put in a new roller coaster. You know, like every once in a while, Worlds of Fun will be like, hey, come on out. We got a new attraction. Mm-hmm. Wherever this was, it's in the United States somewhere, they put in a new roller coaster. The roller coaster is apparently so terrifying that all the people that live sort of adjacent to the amusement park just hear screams 24/7. Just people screaming. One of the quotes I read was, it sounds like someone is being murdered near our house on a loop 24/7. I don't know how you prevent that, because people, when they're going upside down at 100 miles an hour, are going to scream.
Well, what was there first, the amusement park or the neighborhood?
I bet you the neighborhood was there first. I bet it was.
Because I remember when the radio station was in Westwood, which is probably, what would you say, 2 miles from here as the crow flies?
Less than,
We were right in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there were things that, I mean, you know, Johnny would ride his motorcycle into work at 5:30 in the morning. I'm sure that wasn't quiet. And I'm sure that there were things going on in the yard that were something the neighbors didn't expect when they bought their $700,000 homes.
But I'm sure, do you mean you were witness to them?
Yes.
Okay.
It involved
Twister,
naked people, and
Roman candles.
Yeah. Yes, and T-bone. Yes, I saw that in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But the radio station was there first. They built their homes up around the radio station. That's not our fault.
I'm going to look up. What if it started out as just a small little amusement park with like just some little rides for little kids, and then they added like the upside down 200-mile-an-hour loop-de-loop?
Was the amusement park there first? Did you buy a house next to the amusement park? And if you did, you know. Now, if you have a home in Western Wyandotte County and they want to build the new Chiefs Stadium out there.
Okay.
I'd go ahead and sell that property real quick.
Would it change your opinion if I told you the new thrill ride is at Universal Studios in Hollywood?
No. Well,
yeah, because it's rich people complaining. Get over it.
Wow.
Test runs show a nonstop wall of screaming that you can hear across nearby areas and golf courses every few seconds.
Not the golf courses.
What if I'm teeing off and there's screaming going on?
The park built over 900 feet of dedicated sound barriers along the high-velocity track sections, and they added pea gravel underneath to try and absorb and lower travel noise.
What if it startles me and I spill my old-fashioned?
That is terrible. I would not want to live next to a screaming roller coaster. That's the period. And by the way, it's called the Fast and Furious coaster.
Well, of course it is. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. Dana gets the honorary first grievance of every week. And Sam, you have a grata grievitude?
Yes, that would be a grata grievitude.
Grata grievitude, yes. Okay. Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and the families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys that a child can face. It's more than just paperwork. It is trauma-informed support, community advocacy, real help when it's needed most. And that is why KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect's school supply drive. The need is real. New backpack is just the beginning. You can learn more about their important work and make a donation. Just go to KMBZ.com. Look for the school supply link on our homepage. And together, we can give kids a strong start to the school year. You know, I love these charts and lists and stuff. This is not from Facebook. Okay. I just looked it up on my own.
Okay.
I just looked it up on my own. I just was like, I wonder who is the top selling artist of all time. Okay.
Wait. Artist or band? Any of them.
Artist and or band. Okay. So I looked it up. I have in front of me the top nine.
Of all time. Okay. Rolling Stones would have to be somewhere in the top 10.
They are not in the top nine.
The Beatles.
Number one.
Taylor Swift has to be number two.
She is not even in the top nine.
Wow.
Hasn't been around long enough yet.
If Rolling Stones isn't in the top 10, Eagles?
No. Come on, you're missing some. You're missing
Michael
some.
Michael Jackson.
Number two.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, and he's enjoying a posthumous resurgence because of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna?
Number six.
How is Madonna on the list and Taylor Swift is not? I mean, just being serious.
I don't write the rules.
Beyonce?
There is a modern artist on the list. The only modern artist on the list comes in at number eight, and it's not Beyonce.
40 years of record sales, by the way, Dana, is how Madonna's up
there. Okay.
And keep in mind, Taylor Swift, they don't release hard copy records anymore.
Right. Is it like a Kanye?
They do, but no, it's a woman, by the way.
I have no idea if it's not Beyonce.
Rihanna comes in at number eight.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good Queen. On her.
Who'd you say?
Queen.
Queen comes in at number five.
What about a Billy Joel or an Elton John?
And Elton John does come in at number four.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton. What about Sting?
Nope. Nor the Police.
Mm. Elvis?
Elvis Presley comes in at number three.
Good Ooh. Guess, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
What about
Was that your head exploding?
Yes, that was my head exploding. I got nothing. Who is it?
All right, so we'll go back from
I, literally Richie Valens popped into my head, and I'm like, no.
I don't think so.
La Bamba, a plane went down, and he's not going to be on the list.
Whitney Houston.
These are, no, actually.
Really?
Nope. Number 9 is Pink Floyd.
Okay.
Number 8 is Rihanna. Number 7 is Led Zeppelin. Ugh. Number 6, Madonna.
Okay.
Number 5, Queen. Number 4, Elton John. 3, Presley. 2, Jackson. 1, The Beatles.
Okay.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. New federal research finds that fewer Americans actually own their homes than they thought.
Than the homeowners thought?
No. That researchers
thought. I thought I owned this.
What is going on?
I got a grievance.
Have enough time for that conversation.
So, according to new Federal Reserve research, it was originally thought that 65% of homes in America were owned by the people living in it, right? Or somebody who was renting it to somebody else. That number is actually 53%, not 65. So roughly half of the people living in homes in America own or are set to own their home at some point once they pay the mortgage.
We're going
to
bring this back on Monday. Okay. A California homeowner says they allowed an Airbnb renter in for several weeks.
Okay.
And now that woman refuses to leave.
Did she get any mail at that address?
Yeah. Scott, we're going to talk about this on Monday. I'm telling you, all you all that are doing these long-term rentals, because this woman has a case. The squatter has a case.
Well, you better keep paying then.
You know who you're going to pay? Is a lawyer. You're going to have to pay a lawyer to get her kicked out.
All right, we got Festivus coming your way right after the news with Dan, 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Get in early. Every line is open. Festivus Friday is next, right after the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.